The scripture reading today is from Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17, which can be found in your pew Bible, starting on page 958. Hear the word of the Lord. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
What if it could be Thanksgiving every day? What would you be thrilled about? And what would you rather keep to once a year at most? Some of you are thinking, the food! And some of you are thinking, the food, meh. Some of you are thinking, time with family! And some of you are thinking, time with family. Same goes for football and football. Maybe even church and church. Obviously, everyone has a different list of what's great about this day and what they will be happy to put behind them tomorrow morning. Most of those things are the rituals and exterior trappings of a cultural tradition. And whether we love them or not, they have a short shelf life. Okay, except for canned pumpkin, which stays in the pantry forever. But what if we could dig deeper and find something in this day for all of us to love? And what if we could carry that throughout the year? So that Thanksgiving, the real spirit of it, not the trappings, could be a way of life all year long. Then it would be Thanksgiving every day in the best possible way. So let's pray about how to do that. Gracious God, thank you for bringing us together today to gather around your word and to give you thanks. In this time, as we let your word dwell in us richly, may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you scratch beneath the surface of Thanksgiving, the general agreement is that you're supposed to be thankful for your life and for the good things in it. That approach has two parts, the thankful part and the good things part. First, the thankful part. We're on the right track, but generic, directionless gratitude is a fleeting feeling. True gratitude is expressed in the context of a relationship, directed to someone. We are here today to express gratitude to someone, to God, from whom all blessings flow. When we are thankful to God. Thankful for what? Right, we're supposed to be thankful for all the good things. And there are certainly good things. Anyone privileged enough to be listening today has some good things in his or her life. You know there are good things in your life. It's right to celebrate, appreciate, and thank God for those good things. It's not a bad start, but it's just a start. Because sometimes you can easily see the blessings and feel the gratitude, and sometimes you just can't. Sometimes the big things in your life are going well, check, but the little things are a hot mess of annoyance and first world problems. Sometimes the little things might be okay, check, but something really big is wrong or missing. You want a relationship that's not happening, you want a family you don't have, your health is frightening you, or you're missing someone very dear to you today. That pain is real, and it can eclipse feelings of gratitude. If we are going to find thanksgiving powerful enough to carry us through every day of the year, we have to go beyond the basic approach of being generically thankful for the immediate good things in our lives. A few minutes ago, Lauren read three Bible verses with profound meaning for today and every day. These three little verses get straight to the heart of the relationship with God that gives shape to our gratitude. And they show us how to make thanksgiving a way of life all year long, even when things are not going so hot. I have to tell you that the first perfect thing about this Bible passage for Thanksgiving Day is just plain fun. It was written to a bunch of first century Christians in a place, a city called Colossae, which is, yep, in modern day Turkey. So, dear people of Turkey, the Apostle Paul wrote, and he was not writing from a cushy hotel. This is one of four imprisonment epistles, meaning four letters written by Paul during periods when he was in jail or some other form of house arrest or detainment. Time out for Bible Jeopardy fans. Do you know which four of Paul's letters are the imprisonment epistles? In addition to Colossians, the other three are Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. Why was Paul in prison? Ironically, people in power wanted to stop the spread of Paul's gospel message. Instead, God used that time to inspire Paul's writings, which we're still reading 2,000 years later on the other side of the globe. Never doubt God on the long game. Even though Paul was not living his best life now, in terms of many things that we would define as blessings, he wrote a message of encouragement to the Colossian church. He wanted them to see all of life, not just the churchy parts, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he wanted them to stand firm against false teaching that was prevalent in the culture around them and creeping its way into the church. I think we recognize that story. Gratitude was a key part of the Christian life, and Paul spelled it out for those Christians, and it's a key part of the everyday, all day, all year long Christian life for us. The everyday, all day, all year long Christian life needs to be anchored in more than the occasional warm, fuzzy feeling. So let's look briefly at these three verses to figure out how thanksgiving can be a way of life every day. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Ah, now that's the source. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Through Christ, God makes peace with sinners like you and me. Through Christ, we are reconciled to God the Father forever, and we can live in closeness to Him. Through Christ, love and peace flow into our lives, even when the chips are down. We are supposed to let that peace take control of our lives. None of the things we get anxious about can undo the grace of Jesus Christ. None of the things we're unhappy about will last longer than our forever life with Christ. None of our problems is beyond the reach of God's transforming power. And on top of that, we are called into a body of believers. Christians are called to share life in the world together and to share life with God together. No matter how lonely you may feel today, you are not alone in this world. Jesus knows you and loves you and wants you to be connected to the other people who love Him. The people who love Jesus are not perfect, but they share a source of peace that makes their everyday lives distinctive and helps them to be thankful every day. You are invited to receive God's peace and to share it. I have to share another cool tidbit here for my history buffs. Paul's words, "Let the peace of Christ rule," were carefully chosen. Anybody in the first century world within reach of the Roman Empire would have heard an immediate allusion and contrast to the Pax Romana. The Pax Romana was the militarily imposed peace of the Roman Empire. Rome's control over its subjects and its power to mediate disputes in its territory more or less led to the absence of war for a period of time in history. The tight-fisted, relatively short-lived political Pax Romana was very different than the open-handed cosmic reconciliation with God brought about by Jesus Christ through the means of a Roman crucifixion. Once again, God wins the long game. It can be really hard to trust God's long game as an individual human, though. How can we discern what God is doing in our lives and in the world in the long game? How can we even handle what's happening in our lives and in our culture now, much less adopt gratitude as a way of life in all these circumstances? One key is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. God has given this community that we're part of some powerful gifts. The Word helps us to understand God's plan. The Word helps us to see the long game. Worship orients us away from ourselves as we join together in expressing whatever bits of gratitude we can personally muster on any given day, which should be a lot, but sometimes we need that boost from the energy of others. So then, when we fill ourselves with the living word of Christ, and when we make Christ the center of our worship, we become less reactive and probably less reactionary in dealing with the problems of daily life. By reading the story of God's long game over and over and internalizing its perspective, we're going to have more patience and more perspective in dealing with life. By responding to the gospel with praise and worship, we can't help but knock our idols and our anxiety down a few pegs. You're doing exactly this right now here today. You are starting off this day centered in the word and worship. As a result, watch. Watch what happens to your ability to handle happy chaos, lonely frustration, drunk uncles, and dinner table politics for the rest of this day. The word and worship remind us of God's long game. The word and worship help us to rise above stressful moments. The word and worship keep gratitude in our hearts long after the best and the worst of the holiday are over. Which brings me to the last verse of our scripture for today. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." To do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus does not mean that every single time you buy milk or go to a meeting or walk the dog, you need to say, "This one's for you, Jesus," out loud to anyone who will listen. It does mean recognizing that the lordship of Jesus Christ extends to absolutely every part of our lives. We can choose to represent Christ well in everything we do. Representing Christ well in everything we do comes most naturally in giving thanks to God. When we are constantly in awe of God's mercy to us and cognizant that Jesus died to extend that same mercy to even the most annoying people we encounter, we behave better. We behave in a way that glorifies God more often. I know that none of us, least of all me, has a perfect track record of glorifying God in everything we do and say all the time. It's easy to be overwhelmed with stress, annoyance, or inconvenience. It's easy to bristle and it's hard to apologize. Pretty much every day includes something that we can't feel grateful for. Something we can't feel grateful for, whether it's a big thing or a little thing. But a life of thanksgiving runs deeper than our ups and downs. Gratitude in the everyday, all day, all year long Christian life comes from the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. We don't generate Christ's peace in us. We receive it as a gift. It is the best gift ever, and it is completely wrapped up with the gifts of grace, unconditional love, reconciliation with our perfect Father, purpose, community, salvation, and eternal life. Be thankful, friends. Remind yourself over and over of those gifts by letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and express your gratitude to God in worship, in words, and in deeds that glorify him. You were made for this. I don't know how you're feeling today. I don't know what the rest of your Thanksgiving holiday holds, but I do know that giving thanks to God in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ can be our way of life all year long. We were made for this. Amen.